All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a minute, but we're back with a little summer edition of the KSL.com Game Center podcast. And we are joined today by Ryan Miller to talk a little bit of Jazz. The season is, well, it is the off season, but as is the case with the NBA, there's really not much of an off season these days. And this is kind of, one of the busiest 2 to 3 week periods of that off season, with the NBA draft, free agency, and then summer league coming up. So how we feeling right in the thick of it, Ryan?
Oh, it's always fun. You always get a little lull at like May, and then you get a little bored, and then it just screams back up. And it's been a good time over the last couple of weeks. A lot of fun, interesting stuff happened in the world of the Jazz, and yeah, been fun to cover.
Definitely. And the Jazz have been kind of right in the middle of a lot of it. Three first round draft picks, and then we'll talk about the trade that went down just this week as well. But starting out with that draft, obviously you and I had talked about it previously. Obviously both a little dubious of the draft process in general, just because you never quite know what you're going to get, and a lot of times it's just kind of pure speculation. But the Jazz had essentially three shots to get one good player out of the first round. And so I'm curious, how are you feeling about the odds of one of these three guys panning out?
Yeah, like again, I think it's a quiver thing. You got three arrows and you took a shot with all three. There's things to like in all of these guys. Taylor Hendricks was probably my favorite guy in the Jazz's range the entire draft process. Like, there's just things that you look at, like bust rates and things that translate well. And he kind of hits all the good stuff on that. Like, he's tall, he's athletic enough, has great defensive instincts and can shoot. Like, yes. Does he have a lot of handling? No. Can he create his own shot? Not really, not right now. But those are things that can come along. But the things he has, like, you can plug him in right now and he can play in a series and he can play in a game and he's fine. Now, do I think he's going to play 30 minutes a night? No. And nor do I think he should. He's a rookie. There's going to be a learning curve. But like, he is a guy that you can put in immediately and see what he has. And so good chance there. Keontae George has, like, he's got a lot of stuff you like, meaning his handle. He like you look throughout the draft, there's not a lot of people that had his skill set offensively. He could pretty much get any shot he wanted. Now you can also look at the negative there and be like, well, why did he need to do so much of this dancing, this playing, in order to get some of these shots? And there's legit concerns there that he might not have enough of a first step or enough of a quick thinking there that he knows what to do immediately. But no, there's a lot of stuff to like. The Jazz clearly liked him. They were pretty open that he was their number 10 guy. Funny enough that Hendricks, they pretty open about that he was their number 9 guy. So the Jazz pretty much didn't have the draft exactly how it went, it
Yeah.
seemed like. But no, getting two guys in your top 10 is a good start. Bryce Enzebaugh, really good offensive player as well, hits a lot of tough shots. Very lacking on the defensive end right now. But yeah, you've got a good platform that these guys might turn into something. Now, I am the biggest, like, please don't put huge expectations on rookies. They're never good. Like, there's one and two in every class that kind of like, hey, we had an efficient season that helped our team win. Are one of these guys going to be that? Maybe, we don't know, but like, that doesn't mean they'll be bad players if they don't necessarily be like the end all be all in the second week of the season. So, no, a lot of good things to like about these guys. Seem like good dudes. We've talked to them a couple times now. I think Jazz fans will really like them. So yeah, like, good chances. And yeah, we'll see going down the road. Summer league's in a week or next week, and this will, yeah, we'll get a hopefully get our first taste of these guys and see what they got.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned, those first two guys they took Hendricks, a big man, and then George, a point guard. I think a lot of fans and people around the team, thought, okay, the team kind of needed a point guard, right? Out of this draft, or maybe out of free agency too. They got that. And then you look at Hendricks' position, okay, a big man, like they could use a little bit more reinforcement there. But then they go out and make this trade for John Collins from the Hawks sending out Rudy Gay. And I think a lot of people were like, hold up, like you just took a forward with your number 9 draft pick, and then you trade for another forward. Do you see that as kind of like I know you mentioned, you know, Hendricks was never going to play 30 minutes a game, but does this, you know, kind of maybe push him a little bit further down the ladder?
You know, like at this point, you've got two, like, you can think of this in two ways. And my opinion on this is the Jazz saw John Collins, who they've liked, don't really feel like he's been utilized correctly over the last couple seasons, and said, you know what, we're getting a pretty good signing for free. Like, this essentially is a free agent signing. Like, Rudy Gay was never in the future. They've been trying to trade him for a year now, and they literally were able to offload his money, get off of that last year, and then bring a guy in that they've liked and feel like he has potential, and you needed to spend the money anyway. Like, this free agent class, if you look at it, isn't great. Like, there's a lot of players. There's not a lot of, like, guys that are going to move the needle, at least immediately. John Collins, if he was in this free agency class, probably would have been in that, like, second tier of guys that you would probably go after. Yeah, it's a little bit of a rehabilitation project, but like the talent and skills there, the guy's 20, will be 26 right at the start of next year. Like, yeah, like, no, I don't think it has really anything to do with Taylor Hendricks. This is a move of, there was a guy who had talent on the board that they could go and get, and literally for nothing except for a second round pick and offloading salary. Like, yeah, you're going to do that. Just, it doesn't make any sense not to, especially if you have the cap room to make it work. And yeah, we'll see. Like, they were able to turn Lowry Marketing, who kind of had the same trajectory of like, oh, we think he might be good in Chicago, and now he's just this role player that might work out, into a star, like a all-star. And so maybe you can do the same thing with John Collins. Like, not at, like, the skill sets are clearly different, but it's kind of the same thing. Like, John Collins is a kind of a pick and roll maestro. Like, he literally is such a good lob threat and a roller, and Atlanta used to run like 50% of pick and rolls through him, and then it dropped to like 20% last year. Like, it's if he's not being utilized in his best skill set, yeah, his numbers and his efficiency is going to drop. Yeah, his three-point shot also went away last year. There's legitimate problems with that finger. You don't know if that's going to be ever fully healed or healed correctly. Thing looks like a balloon. yeah, that might be a concern down the road. But the fact is, I don't think the Hawks used him correctly over the last 2 years to really utilize what he was best at. I believe the Jazz probably will try to do that a little bit more. Not necessarily have to build anything around a John Collins, just got to put him in the right situations. Will Hardy proved real, like, extremely effective in doing that in his first year. That was kind of what he was the best at, is taking players and putting them in positions that they could succeed. I would assume they would do the same with John Collins. When it comes to Taylor Hendricks, he'll get his time still. There's still plenty of time. I believe Kelly Olynyk's going to be back. We'll find out for sure today sometime. That's his partially non-guaranteed date is up today. I would imagine they're going to guarantee that, if nothing else, just to be able to put him into a trade later to match salaries and whatnot. But no, like, Will Hardy loves Kelly Olynyk. So I would not be surprised at all of those guys were still here. And if that's the fact, you just have a really deep front court, and that's not a bad thing to have. Like, you can mix and match all of these guys, and that's probably the best part of it. They're versatile. Like, the only one that truly has a position at that point is Walker Kessler. It's like, yep, yeah, he's your center, and everyone else can mix and match from the 3, 4, and the 5. Like, that's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, so you mentioned Kelly Olynyk there. He's, you know, they got to figure out the guaranteed part of his deal. We got free agency coming up, and with that comes these dates that they got to figure out these contracts by. Jordan Clarkson was another one you mentioned to me, where he's got to figure out his option tomorrow, right? So what are you hearing about Jordan Clarkson?
The Jazz like Jordan Clarkson. This isn't a report by any means, but I imagine that Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck have a number that it's like, this is the number we want. And like, just Jordan Clarkson's going to opt out of this thing. He's like, he's due like $14 million, I think, next year. Like, he's going to get more on the open market than that. This, he scored over 20 points, had 4 assists, kind of showcased that he could be a legitimate starter in this league and be like efficient at doing that. So no, this is kind of his, maybe his last chance to get a big payday. He's opting out of this deal. Well, that doesn't mean he won't come back to Utah. The Jazz really like him. They want him. That said, he's a little older than this core. And so I would imagine they have a number that they're like, this is what we feel comfortable with, and these are the years, and they'll try to make it work with that. But if Jordan Clarkson suddenly signed a 4-year, $100 million deal somewhere, I'm not sure if you're going after him at that point. But who knows? Like, they have a few dollars left to spend. Like, the John Collins deal really did wipe out their cap space. Now, could they get to like upwards of $38 million if they don't guarantee Kelly and they wipe out like Lucas Samanich and Vernon Carey and say Chris Dunn, you're not coming back to? Yes. Like, they could get to a big number if just with Jordan Clarkson gone, though, you're looking probably around like 10 to 15 million in cap space. And like, obviously Jordan, they have their board rights, so they can go over and everything. They can sign him for whatever they need. But no, there's not a ton left after the John Collins deal. It's not like they got this max slot anymore. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think essentially they want Jordan Clarkson back, but they're not going to go crazy. They understand that he probably doesn't fit their timeline unless they accelerate it, which would all be fun. A lot of people want Damian Lillard. And you know what? Based off the teams that would actually want Damian Lillard, the Jazz could offer the best package by far and not have to give up like a Walker Kessler or a Lowry Markkanen. So if you really want to like speed this thing up, yeah, you could do it. I'm just not sure if they want to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, like, where, like, what is, like, what's, is it a win now, or is it still kind of a development mode for the Jazz? And going into the draft, I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, they've got these 3 first round picks, they could trade, you know, one or more of them to get more of a veteran player. They didn't. They took 3 very young players, but then they go and they trade for John Collins, who in you know, that seems like more of a win now move. You know, you're kind of matching your timeline with Lowry Markkanen. And Colin Sexton, kind of all kind of in that similar 24 to 26 age range. And so now it's like the Jazz are almost back at one of these crossroads heading into next season. Is like, you know, you don't really want to be middle of the pack in the NBA. You get kind of either got to go for it or not. So, you know, are there other moves that this team might try and make to really make a run for it?
You know, here's the thing with the NBA today. I don't know if there really is a middle of the pack anymore. Like, especially with this new CBA, the Hawks, like, we're seeing money dumps for pretty decent players at this point. Like, Bradley Beal essentially was a money dump for the Wizards. Like, John Collins was clearly a money dump. Like, these guys are, Warriors did it with Jordan Poole. Like, everyone is trying. Yes, they got Chris Paul back, but that was legitimately a salary dump. Like, teams are new CBA is going to be hard on teams that are paying a ton of salary. And so teams are going to actually be giving up players with high range of numbers for literally nothing just to get down. Like, I bet you see the same thing kind of happen with the Nuggets in a couple of years with Michael Porter Jr. Like, once you need to start getting these guys like contracts signed and these extensions that pop up that are just 50 plus million a year, like, you can't afford a lot of people. And I think that's just going to like further what we saw last season, which is this league is getting a lot more parity in it. And with the Heat jumping in from a play-in team to the finals, like, I hope that's an eye-opening experience for a lot of these teams. Like, you know what? Like, you don't need to be a top 2 seed anymore. You just don't, especially like you look at the West. Yes, the Nuggets are going to come in as the clear odd favorite next year. And after that, it's like, are you scared of any, like, do you even look at the current Jazz situation? It's like they could probably hang with every team in a playoff series after that. Like, yeah, the Suns have their three-headed monster, and then it was like literally nothing. And so, like, it's hard. You're going to have a deep team. You're going to have to – I don't think you're winning playoff – you're not winning championships anymore with these – 2 to 3 all-stars or superstars and then just spare parts around them. Like, I think you're going to need to be 8-9 deep, pretty solid rotation guys that can all pop at a certain night. And that just makes it deep because it's like, okay, that means you're not chasing those stars. And so those stars are then going to be spread out a little bit more. Those good rotation guys are going to be kind of moving in and out of places because teams can't afford everyone. And so, like, if you look at the Jazz right now, like, yeah, like if they really wanted to go and make a huge push this year, I think they could probably jump to a top 4 seed pretty quickly with the right move. Now, that would, like, say it's a Damian Lillard. It's like, okay, that's awesome for 2 years. And then you got to get into the same thing as everyone else is. It's like, okay, well, we're not with Damian Lillard's 5-year extension or the 2 years after these next 3 or whatever going in at like $60 million plus, that's suddenly hard. Like, you're suddenly wondering if you can pay Walker Kessler. You're suddenly, if you're paying, can you pay Lowry Markkanen? And so, like, but for the short term, yeah, like, you go and make that move, you're probably a top 4 seed in the West, and, you know, a weird injury away or a weird timing, weird series away from really being able to make a push to the finals. Yeah, like, and I think a lot of teams are thinking the same thing. If you look at the West, it's hard to find that, like, that team that's going to be bad or, like, the clearly worst team. Like, the Rockets, I think, are going to go after veterans this summer and try to kind of accelerate them. They want to be good again. Like, the Spurs got Wemby, so it's like they're not going to sit around twiddling their thumbs waiting for another. Like, they got their guy. We're going to go. And, like, the Jazz, I like, would have probably been a playoff team last year if they decided to not shut it down, and they got all their guys coming back. Like the Thunder are really on a good trajectory. Like, you can't really find a team that's, like, bad, bad, bad. And with that said, you can't, and on the other end, you can't really, outside of the Nuggets, you can't really find a team that's really, really good. So, yeah, like, I think it'll be a fun season of just seeing what teams do. And obviously the offseason, we'll see what teams really think they can accomplish. But I think it would be so fun if we all went into the NBA season with all 15 teams in the Western Conference being like, we're going for it right now. And I think that's kind of been a thing in the West. Like, a lot of teams, like, reload more than just, like, reset. Like, funny enough, it's the, like, if you're looking, really looking for the bad team, it might be the Blazers, which is like,
yeah,
damn, you might want to get out of there. But, like, even them, like, they got, like, I really like some of their young pieces, and, like, they get healthy a little bit, add a couple more defensive wings, and pretend, like, suddenly they're okay too. Like, so, yeah, I don't think there's not a lot of teams that other teams are scared of in the West. Like, outside of the Nuggets proved this year that they were so far and above everyone else. And, but even them, they'll probably lose some guys in free agency. They're not going to be able to bring everyone back. And so it's like, so yeah. Like, it could be fun. Like, and it should be fun. Like, I hope the time of the days of the NBA where, like, 5 teams are contenders, 5 teams are tanking, and 20 teams are in this, like, mediocrity hell, like, is over, because it's bad for the league. It's not fun. You're all just waiting for the conference finals every year. And if we're literally paying attention every night to a playoff race featuring 28 teams, like, That's a lot more entertaining than knowing the outcome of the Final Four in September.
That's for sure. And, you know, looking ahead to what fans might be able to expect from this Jazz team, they kind of get their first peek at it starting next week in Summer League. There's Summer League happening here in Salt Lake, and then heading down to Vegas for the rest of Summer League. I'm curious which guys are going to be on the squad. Is Walker Kessler going to play Summer League?
He was planning on it, but then he got called up to the USA team for the World Cup. So he's no longer going to play Summer League. But no, they were planning on it. I believe Ochai Agbaji is still planning on it. Have not reached out enough on that one. As for the new guys, Taylor Hendricks, they're all excited to. And if you can imagine, like, the pre-draft process, these agents protect these guys so much. So none of these guys have played 5-on-5. They haven't played a basketball game since the college season ended. So, like, they're all eager just to play a game of basketball again and not just do shooting drills or layup lines or play against a chair. Like they're excited. That said, sometimes injuries happen. Taylor Hendricks did suffer a little bit of a hamstring I wouldn't even call it a strain, just an issue during the pre-draft process. He didn't work out for the Jazz because of it. Same thing with a few other teams. There's no reason to have any concern. That said, they might not want to push him hard. He wants to play. He's trying to play. He doesn't know yet if the Jazz will allow him to. That said, Justin Zanuck on draft night did say he expected all of them to play, but I'm not sure if he was really thinking of injury-related things there. I see no reason why Keyonte George or Bryce Sensabaugh won't. Both of them also dealt with injuries in their college season, but they've kind of said they're 100% healthy, ready to go. So all the new guys should be there. Taylor Hendricks is kind of the iffy one. So hopefully we see him immediately, which is like such a stark contrast from last season when it was like the most boring summer league team ever. Like there was no one on that team that anyone was like, all right, cool. Got no one, no rookies, and okay, here we go. Yeah, so it was rough. But this year, they potentially 4 or 5 Jazz players that will be there that will be on the regular team. So yeah, it should be fun in Salt Lake. And then same thing with Vegas. They play four to five games, I think, in Vegas as well. So yeah, we'll see how long they keep playing these guys. Usually they'll all play in the Salt Lake one and then the first two games of Vegas, then it'll kind of teeter out a little bit. And so yeah, again, no one wants to see these guys get hurt, but we all want to see what they can do, and that's kind of the point of summer league, is the first crack at really real NBA competition. Like, yes, not all these guys will be in the NBA, but you do have some true blue NBA players that will be in this thing, and it's kind of fun to see how they go up against that kind of level.
Excellent. And the first chance for fans to check it out, Monday, July 3rd, 7 p.m., the Jazz are taking on the Thunder in the Salt Lake Summer League at the Delta Center. So that'll be the first peek.
And I'm pretty sure Chet Holmgren's going to be there.
Oh, ho, ho. Heard it here first.
I'm not sure. I'm not, like, positive, but I know, like, I know that he's been saying he's hopeful to play. That also might mean we'll see you in Vegas, but because Victor Wembanyama, they announced today he's not going to play in the Sacramento Summer League, which is a shame. Yeah. But so yeah, who knows? But maybe he'll be there. That might be the biggest prospect there if he is, because unfortunately this season Jazz usually end up with a few like top five guys at this thing. Yeah, it's not a lot this year, but you know, it'll still be fun. Great, get to see your own guys. And I guess the biggest draw this season is actual Jazz rookies and not the other team's rookies, so that's always fun, a lot more interesting.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Ryan, and chatting Jazz during the summer, and we will catch you next time.
All right, man, we'll see you.